It's time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're here again, and we got about, 45 minutes or so left in the program today, and room for you. Now, do any of you have any questions regarding anything in life? Just give me a buzz. Simple, 03-399-44. Yeah, if you want to know anything within limits, why give me a buzz? Because I've run out of questions for today. Now I got questions for tomorrow and for Friday. But I want to save those because, you know, I'll have some more prizes to give away tomorrow too. But I've got two left for today. Now, here's something. All right, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Now, why is there air?
Why is there air? Oh, yes. Because it is an element in outer space that displaces the air that is generated on Earth. But it has to be of a certain nature to do that.
Now, what kind of nature is that?
Well, it's a nature you could take each molecule and divide it in half. Then it would be a double Q.
And does that mean we'd be a double quark?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Or charm.
Quarks ahead, yeah.
Well, you wanted a question, and I'm asking.
Yeah, right. Oh, hey, did you wonder, too, Ray Seddon and her husband lived there in Murfreesboro.
Was that close to where the tornado was?
Just a couple of miles or so.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, I have to look at her blog to see if she says anything about it.
Well, I might text her and see if all is well.
Do that,
yeah. I just sent the Carpe Diem cartoon.
Oh, really?
In the paper. Did you see that?
No.
It was a space shuttle. And it ran into a piece of space junk in the front of the shuttle, and airbags were deployed, and it said something about airbags or something or other on the space shuttle.
So, that's what I wonder about these new cars and their airbags. Suppose you were driving along at 50 or 60, and a deer jumped out, and your car suddenly stopped.
Well,
I wonder thing behind all this is. Would a car stop at 50 or 60 miles an hour if an obstruction appeared?
Why, is that what they're supposed to do these days?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I did not know that, but I mean, they're not going to stop on a dime, obviously. Mass drag and all of that kind of fun stuff enters into the road conditions and everything else.
That has been puzzling me since it was first come out. The same way.
Ought to just have a ray gun, you know, if there's something that's in close proximity, it vaporizes.
Yeah, no,
get rid of a lot of the traffic.
Yeah. You know? Can you imagine parking your car automatically?
It'd be nice if it was foolproof, but they don't have all the kinks out of the internet.
Well, I wonder, you know. We're used to, in practice, in when we were learning to drive, of where we would stop before we started backing up to go into a parking space.
Well, I think it's a good idea. People should know how to do that.
Yes, right, like instead of a robot.
Just like people should know how to read and write proper English.
Oh, that would be good, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that way we can all communicate, and there would be no mystification of what someone's wanting you to know.
I just saw where a new thing was invented for your two fingers, your index finger and the one next to it, to put them in this plastic sleeve and use those with your pen, and it would make you write a little better. So I don't know how that would be, but they claim that aids penmanship.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, right. Anymore, robots are going to replace us, then what are we going to do? Robots can't duplicate themselves very easy.
Well, here's the big question. What's going to replace robots?
Yeah, well, exactly. And then life will become on this earth barren. There will never be anything even looking like life. And
no life forms, as they would say
that's
in Star
right.
Trek.
And planet Earth would suddenly start drifting away from the pack.
Well, excuse me. Well, one thing's for certain. We're headed for the sun. We are definitely going to be sucked into the sun.
Can you imagine how hot that is? Well, that would I tell you, the closer we got to the sun, it would eliminate all these jobs in the steel industry of melting steel.
Well, it would eliminate a lot of things, and quite possibly before one is fried to a cinder, they'd get to know what it's like to be deep-fried chicken.
Yes, it's bright, yes. Just one swipe and you're fried.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're vaporized. Of course, everybody would probably be vaporized before it even gets swallowed by the sun.
Hey, now here's something I bet you didn't know. On the weekend at the Brickyard, have you been to the Brickyard?
No.
Okay. Well, Sunday or Saturday evening, they had a fundraiser for this group that aids children, abusive children. They raised $42,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing is, they were so jam-packed in there, they could hardly turn around. And they ran out of tables. They ran out of food. They had to go down to Attaboy and bring up food from there. And they had to go out to, it was Payne's Pizza or somewhere and bring pizzas in because they ran out of food. And yes, but they did raise
$42,000. Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Good for them.
Yeah, in Marion. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all they...
Sounds like they need a larger space.
It sounds like it, yes. And all the famous people of Marion were there.
Marion has famous people?
Well, titled people. Titled with money.
Mm.
Ooh, yes.
So all the dukes, duchesses, and barons were there.
That's right. A lot of those we know.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe it was...
That's amazing. One afternoon, they... brought in that amount for whatever the charity is.
Yeah, well, it was in the evening. $42,000 for, and it's a reputable charity that aids, takes care of children that they've been abused by their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a well-known organization, but my, to raise that much money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, hey, I just, can I give a plug to the 2020 celebration?
Oh, yeah. Is that a plug like in a whiskey barrel?
I don't know. Let's say, can I put a cork?
Yeah, or a fire plug?
Yeah.
You know what a fire plug is, don't you?
A fire hydrant?
Yeah, a fire
That's
hydrant
used
used to be made out of wood. And
really?
You had to go down through the ground and tap that wooden water main, yes.
Gee whiz.
Well, go ahead.
That could be dangerous. You could get splinters while they're putting out a fire.
Yeah, especially if you took a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just finished doing a promotional piece for the Marion County Bicentennial.
Oh, really?
With Jim Craycraft.
Oh,
and,
good friend of mine.
He will be at Tri Rivers on March the 12th at 7 p.m., and he will be giving a presentation, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Oh, really?
History of education in Marion County.
Wow.
And there should be representatives of all of the educational institutions in Marion, Marion County, city, whatever.
Wow.
There as well. So that's Thursday, March the 12th, 7 p.m. at Tri Rivers Career Center. And hopefully this afternoon or early evening, the promotional video should be up on their Facebook and their website. And
okay, now how would you access the video again?
It should be, hopefully it'll be by this evening, MarionHistory.com.
Okay.
Or Marion County Bicentennial Celebration on Facebook.
Okay. So Jim Craycraft, boy, he's a very nice person.
He has some interesting stories. He told me one about when he was going into a fraternity. He had to get Woody Hayes to autograph a Michigan hat.
Oh.
And he did.
Really?
And he did. Knocked on the door. Mrs. Hayes answered. He told him what he was doing. And we went in to see Woody. Woody kind of laughed, and he signed it. And he took it back, and he got into the frat. Now,
wow. As
Jim said, could you imagine what, if you auctioned that off, a charity auction, how much you could get out of that autographed Michigan hat from Woody?
Unbelievable. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's quite knowledgeable. He's been in education, and it should be really interesting. He told me a little bit about how he's going to present this, and it's going to be interactive. There's going to be participation. It's not going to be your normal presentation,
right.
So it should be a lot of fun.
Will there be anything to do with one-room schools in Marion County?
I don't know the gist of everything, but I got to believe. I mean, he'll be talking about the original log cabin schools.
Oh, okay.
And those were one rooms. So we'll find out. But it's a week from tomorrow, March 12th at 7 p.m. Tri Rivers Career Center in the GIOC, the auditorium.
Okay.
If you park to the west parking lot, you'll see auditorium on the awning.
That's for sure.
Where it is.
Very good. That's the 12th on Thursday. Yeah.
Yep. A week from tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow is the 5th. A week from tomorrow, the 12th.
Okay. Sounds good. Hey, they haven't started to put the blades on any of those things.
Haven't heard anything from them yet. I'm going to check in with them and see what things look like. But I've been checking the weather. Gee whiz, they had storm warnings, etc., over in that neck of the woods.
Yes.
So they're, you know, maybe mid to late part of this month or April, but those, you know, those are the windiest times that we have until we get into June.
Are the cement bases, they're all intact and with?
They should be, the moorings, all that stuff, the pedestals, what they call them. Yeah. Those should be all intact. My understanding was during the winter, they were doing all the electrical connections from tower A, B through Z, etc., and making all those connections and stuff to go onto the grid and things like that. So they should be erecting those towers and putting the turbines and the blades and stuff on maybe the middle to the end of this month. And should be done. They're scheduled to be done by, I think, September.
Okay, now I was watching Channel 10.5, and they talked about blades that were made in South America being shipped here.
Hmm.
And they would come here and then put on a truck with, you know, a long mm-hmm. but the truck steers from behind as well as the front.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the old hook and ladder.
Exactly. Yeah, so they can get around corners and get those blades to the site of the tower. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was told the length of those blades, but I can't remember. All I can say is they're long and they're big.
I was surprised to see they were made in South America.
Well, that could be some of them. Did it mention about all of them, or
no? It just mentioned
that some of them. Yeah. So, but I got to believe this is a German company, and got to believe they're manufactured in Germany.
Oh, well,
if they are in the United States, they are, you know, scrutinizing over every, you know, every inch of those blades. So.
Yeah, can you imagine how long a ship would have to be to accommodate a blade like that?
Well, you know, it'd kind of be like one of them oil tankers, a big long one.
Well, that's right.
I don't know if it'd have to be that long, but
yeah.
But it'd have to be a big one.
True.
Big, heavy blades, and I think I've only seen them on a transport truck somewhere. They do one blade at a time, I think.
At one time, Ted Graham had them stored here in Marion.
Yep, I think it was the Van Wert area.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And we've got one up around Shelby that's, I don't know how far along they are with theirs.
Yeah, there's that whole ridge. There's a ridge between Galleon and Willard. That on either side, you can see Crawford or Richland County.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the prime ridge for these to be put.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hey.
So, you got a break coming up, so
yeah.
Talk to you later.
Okay, we'll see you. All right.
Bye.
Okay, yeah. That brings you up to date on what's happening. Now, you'll see, just a second here, I get the right microphone. You'll see, of these things that we just talked about in the news. Eventually, over there in Hardin County, you'll see all those Yes, caller, go ahead. Scott, do you know
you
what my favorite meal is? Just a second.
No, Charlie,
hang in.
What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
/150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Yes, caller, go ahead.
You wanted questions.
Yes.
Last year you asked a question, and I'm chagrined that I don't remember the answer. In the Apostles' Creed, where Christ is crucified, died, and he goes to hell.
Yes, right.
Why did he go to hell? What was the purpose of him going to hell?
Well, I asked one minister about that. And he said, nobody knows for sure. That was his theory. But yet I talked to somebody else and said he went to hell to forgive people in hell. We need a call from a preacher. And that's a good question. Because we've been reciting that for 100 years or more.
Yes.
And not knowing what it meant. Like he descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead.
Correct.
Yeah. Why?
That's what I wanted to know.
Okay. Hey, I'm glad you asked that question.
Okay.
Okay. We'll see you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Now, there's a challenge. In the Apostles' Creed, Christ died and was buried And then on the third, what was day? The second day, was it? He descended into hell. And Ed, tell me, what does that mean? Why did he descend into hell? Does anyone know for sure? Because nobody was with him. I mean, you think of this. Nobody was with Jesus Christ when he descended into the so-called hell. Now, that meant that there, for a lot of religions, that hell really exists. But tell me, and if I don't get a call, I'll be disappointed. But can a preacher with that knowledge give me a call? 740-383-9944. And this lady would like to know, so would I. I've asked this question several times to people who should know, but I don't think I got an answer you could pour concrete and seal it. So, okay, now here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yes, it also says in the Bible when Jesus died on the cross that he ascended into hell.
Yes.
He took the keys of death from Satan at that time.
Well, that's kind
of weird. That's also in the Bible. And then when he rose, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father.
Yeah, now when did he ascended into heaven? What was it, after Pentecost?
I believe so. But the Bible says that he ascended into hell and took the keys of death.
Yeah.
And he emptied out hell at that time.
Really? That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The keys of death.
But he took the keys away from Satan, the keys of death. And I can't remember the scripture. I'll have to find that, or else call my pastor and ask.
Yeah, that's an idea. But that's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? The keys of...
Not really, because of Satan's... I don't know the word I want, but
yeah.
Satan is such a master deceiver. And the Bible says he only came to kill, steal, and destroy.
Okay.
And that's exactly what he does.
So Satan was down in hell?
Yes. He's also to and fro here on the earth now.
Yeah.
But the Bible also says he will be put in hell in chains for 1,000 years and then loosed for a little while.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
But it's all in the Bible, Okay. Every bit of it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see.
I'll see if I can find that scripture and let you have it, okay?
Yes, indeed. Okay, thank you.
Right.
Okay,
bye.
All right, and our lines are open, 740-383-9944. It's 24 minutes until 12. We got 24 minutes to pursue this subject. Yeah, died on the cross and descended into hell the following day. And then, if he descended into hell, now here's the thing. He was in the tomb. But, well, I tell you, it's too much for me to understand. And even though I went through... I was born a Catholic. I grew up in the Catholic religion and had catechism every day. And yet now, that's been a long time ago. And so due to circumstances... Oh, okay. Okay, caller, go ahead.
On the third day, he arose into heaven.
The third day, he rose into heaven.
Yes.
Okay, so
Easter Sunday.
Why did they find him in the earth? Is that why he wasn't in the tomb then?
Because he went to heaven.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Okay, well, thanks for that. Uh-huh. All right. Okay. So he rose from from hell, went into heaven, but yet Pentecost occurred. Didn't he exit the tomb and eventually got together his disciples and they had Pentecost? Boy, there's a lot here, you know, to understand or try to understand. As you can see, it's, and you wonder, some people wonder about these books that are written like, you know, that one famous book that all the kids have read and reread with all these strange characters in it. It's just boggling. That's all I can say. Any of you got any ideas? Because this is a good forum. Our lines are open. You know, if you'd like to make a comment, ooh, feel free. 740-383-9944. How about that? Wow. Now, and of course, there are probably a lot of different angles to this, or we would have only one religion. So, you know, yeah, that's why how many different religions do we have today? Hundreds. And then we have, and then other than Protestant and Catholic religions, we also have the Jewish. Now, I was interested in one day when Scott had a rabbi on the air, and he asked the rabbi what was the difference between the Jewish religion and Protestant religion or Catholic. And he said, in the Jewish religion, going to heaven depends on what good you do on earth, which is not the same as in the Protestant religion. It's not the good you do on earth that will get you to heaven, right? Oh, my. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. 11:39 is the time, and it's Wednesday all day. Okay. Now, tomorrow, I will have questions to do with education and speed. And then the next day, on Friday, I'll have something totally different. Subjects we've touched upon before. But it's kind of interesting. Anybody else want to make a stab at the crucifixion and what happened after? You know, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Last Supper. Did the Last Supper occur before the Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And here's something. At the Last Supper, did Christ wash the feet of the apostles? Now, there are some churches that do this today to parishioners, and that's one of the most humbling experiences you could ever have. And I don't know if maybe the church you go to might do this. I doubt it, but there are some that do. Wash the feet of their parishioners. And so it goes. I must have hit a deep subject because I'm not getting any response right now. 740-3-399-44. I still got tickets to give away. I've got one for a free kids meal at Panda Express, and I got a free smoothie. And the next person that calls with any kind of a theory trying to explain it will get one of these prizes. How about that? 740-3-399-44. Call and give me your explanation or what you think about what the subject we just had talked about. It's very controversial, the meaning behind all this. Although it's all in the Bible, but the way it's interpreted by people, might be, you know, up to individuals, maybe up to certain religions on how things are interpreted. That's why we have Latin being used to for medicine and for a lot of other things, because the Latin language never changes. It's always the same. It reads the same, the Latin language. And so that's good that we have a language that means the same at any time. That's better than throwing it out and saying, hey, what does this mean? And you say, well, I think it means blah, blah, blah. And others will say, no, it doesn't. Oh, my goodness. Have I hit upon as something that's untouchable today? I wonder. Okay, and if you'd ever like to write us a note, it's WWGH Radio at 165 West Center. And we're at Suite 208. That's kind of interesting. I once lived at 208 Plymouth Street in Bucyrus. Lived there for a long time. 208, yes. Wow. How many of you can remember the address where you once lived? I can remember in Bucyrus, we lived at 521 Martin Avenue once. That's where my parents built a new home, and then Dad went off to the Navy. Let's see, I lived on Spring Street in Bucyrus. It was 530-something. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, you're talking about religion.
Yes.
You know, how can they say, for the last president we had, so-called, that two men can get married and it's okay, and you don't believe in the Bible at all?
Well, yes, that's a good question.
You think about this. Yeah. I can understand a couple guys want to live together or a couple women. I understand that.
Yeah. But, there's a lot of things that God teaches, that we should love one another. And
that's
yet,
fine.
And yet you would stand at the door of your church and exclude a gay person.
If you don't believe in the Bible, we might as well just throw it away.
Well, yes, but all the people, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Caller, are you still there? No, I lost my caller. Call back, yes. Now, here's the thing, too. Yes, the Bible is used by all the Protestant and Catholic religions to an extent. A certain extent. Wasn't King James Version his own interpretation of the men that wrote the Bible? What did King James have to do with it? That's really been bugging me for a long, long time. What did King James have to do with the putting together the Bible? Did it have to pass his interpretation? Did he have to approve everything that was written? It kind of sounds like it. Otherwise, why was King James involved in writing the Bible? Well, it's 11:46 and a half right now. It's been too much, huh? Wow. What role did King James have in the Bible? Because you know, everyone's interpreting or reading the Bible with the King James Version. But what did King James wasn't God. So what was going on? What role did King James have in the printing of the putting together the Bible? Interesting, eh? All right. Not that I'm a rabble rouser, but I'm a curious person. I used to, years ago, I liked trains, still love trains, and I can sit at a crossing and watch trains go by without getting irritated. But when I was a kid, I would take my bicycle and go up to a crossing out on Route 98 and stay there until I saw a train come in, and they usually had to wait there for clearance to proceed southward. And my staying there for such a long time, and I've told this story before, the engineer of one particular train had me come over and climb up on his platform and show me how he managed to put coal in the boiler. And he had a valve that he could turn that used an auger and pulled the coal into the boiler, and which eliminated the firemen, even though for years after that, the unions, of course, kept the firemen in place, right? So, and my curiosity, I learned a lot that day from an engineer who wanted to take his time and show me the inner workings of that steam locomotive. Now, another time, remember when we used to have the U.S. Open? We had Corps come to Marion from all over, starting in Canada and all over the United States. They would come to Marion. They would be boarded in schools and private homes while they practiced for the big competition, the U.S. Drum and Bugle Corps, the U.S. Open. And we always had a big parade. This was long before the popcorn parade. And one year, they decided that Marion was not the place for the U.S. Open. So they moved it elsewhere, out of Marion to, was it Columbus? And that ended the U.S. Open as far as most people in Marion would know it. Some went to wherever it was being held, but not that many that... that it would, you know, your memories and everything would stay here. If that ended the U.S. Open, which was a wonderful thing to, for Marion to have, because people arrived from all over the country. Now, here's the other thing. There were so many of these corps that some had to stay out of town. And one of the corps stayed in Bucyrus. And I went down, I could hear them practicing because I lived just a half a block away from Harmon Field where they were practicing. So I walked down, and something that has impressed me, and I've thought of it the rest of my life. Here's this guy with a huge trumpet. I don't know what technically they're called. And he's practicing, and then they stop, and little kids ran up to him, and he showed them his trumpet. And those kids were, oh, boy, they were excited, because here is a man from, well, I think it was California Vanguard, that took time out to show us how his trumpet operates. To me, I've never forgotten. That is in my mind, etched in my mind, forever, that this young man took the time to explain to young kids the ins and outs of his big trumpet. Yeah, I don't know what you call that. It had a special name. 11:52 is the time. How many things that happened when you were young do you remember and will never forget? Something else I remember is, of course, I remember a lot during World War II, was we had a demonstration by the U.S. Army. They brought in on a big truck a tank, a U.S. Army tank, and in the field, right years before, where those guys were practicing from the Vanguard from California, years before that, they parked a wrecked car at Harmon Field and rolled over it with a U.S. Army tank. Never forget that either. I can see it happening. And then something else that happened, they had on the square in Bucyrus, they were selling bonds for World War II. And my mother, and I don't know how she managed to squeeze $25, but she did. She worked at the GE plant in Bucyrus. And she bought a $25 bond, which enabled her to take me in that Jeep, the U.S. Army Jeep, and go out to the golf course and go up and down the hills and all around and then come back downtown. Yeah, memories that are etched in one's mind, you could never forget. And there are, you know, a lot of other things. I remember when Admiral Byrd's snow cruiser came through Bucyrus on its way to the East Coast to go to Little America. I can remember that quite well. Remember all the people that gathered around it? Oh, my goodness. 11:54 is the time. How about you? Do you, any of you have memories you'd like to mention here? I'd appreciate it. Maybe some of our other people would, too. A childhood memory that's stuck in your mind. I can remember, too, the bicycle my parents bought, well, then just my mother, during the war, bought me a bicycle for $5. I can remember where it was on Southern Avenue. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hello, Charlie.
Yes, hello.
Hey, I remember this. I don't know when it was, probably the 60s, when Bonnie and Clyde's car, the final car they made their final resting place in, was touring through Marion. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do, yes. And that was something, to see Bonnie and Clyde's car full of bullet holes.
Exactly. Yeah. That was just interesting to me as a kid.
I was trying to figure where was it that they put it for display. Well, we lost our caller. But, yeah. How many of you remember Bonnie and Clyde's car? I saw a picture of it the other day on the Facebook. Riddled full of holes. Bonnie and Clyde. And, of course, now, here's something else. I probably have talked about this before. In the in my career, working at the radio station, I got to know a lot of people. Oh, here. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Didn't they have Bonnie and Clyde's car out there at the mall? At that time, it was the hub of activity. Everything happened at the mall.
Oh, really?
I think they had it at the mall.
Okay, that's good to hear. Okay. All right, thanks. Okay, Lord, I got this little cough all of a sudden. Whee! Have to get my lozenges out here. We only have 4 minutes left in the program today. What about you? How many things do you remember when you were younger that have impressed your mind? That, you know, I remember so much about the U.S. Open. I remember, do you remember the announcer for the U.S. Open? His first name was Ken. He worked for, who did he work for, General Telephone? I think so. What was his last name, Ken? Oh, my. Do you remember? If you do, give me a buzz. Ken, what's his name? Yeah, now who was he? He was the announcer year after year for the U.S. Open. And boy, that was a long program, too. Woo, it lasted all evening till I don't know why I get... I think I'll be all right. I've only got 2.5 minutes to go. Okay. Drink some water, did that help? Ken Barter. Okay. Isn't that something? It just popped in my mind. Ken Barter. Now, how many of you know whatever happened to Ken Barter? I think he was an official with GTE. Isn't it something how names will suddenly pop up? Ken Barter would be at Harding High School on the other side and describe the festivities. And boy, it was complicated, too. All the people that competed there and the complexity of their drill. Okay, 11:58 and a half is the time. And, it's almost 11:59. We've got a minute to go on this program. So, Glenn, when is Swap Shop this week?
Tomorrow.
12. Oh, tomorrow's Thursday, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think people will call tomorrow? Maybe that it's getting warmer. Maybe they'll have some yard sales.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. But it's a little early for garage sales.
Yeah.
That's all right. We had one or two last week.
Oh, really? Son of a gun. And incidentally, I saw Jeff Ruth out in the parking lot. And I don't know what he was doing out there, but he said he'd be listening today. Oh, it's we got 30 seconds to go. So,
selling anything out in the parking lot?
He had a little table out there with some pots and pans on it. Oh, my. Okay, it's been good to be with you today. Stay tuned because Glenn Coble comes up next at 12:15. And I'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Toodaloo.